Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of relationship. Thank you for our faith and confidence in you that is not wasted, that is not of no consequence. We appreciate you. I ask, Lord, that you breathe upon the service tonight. Let everyone here tonight have an experience with you, an encounter. Let no one be the same. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. And my lifeline. I welcome everyone here today to this service. And I want to let someone here know this moment that the God that you and I serve will show you and show your world very soon that you are not wasting your time. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. It will show you and show your world that you are not wasting your time. You are not wasting your effort. And you are not wasting your energy. Look at your neighbor by yourself and say, you are not wasting your time. You are not wasting your time. Say your faith will produce result. Say your world will see your result and look for your God through you. They will look for your God through you. They will say, show us your God. Say amen. This evening, I will be looking at the subject of facilitators of faith. Facilitators of faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, the Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our objective tonight is just as it is stated. We want to understand the things, the forces that facilitate, that anchor our faith. They facilitate our faith. They anchor our faith and make the faith to work. From last Sunday last Wednesday till last Sunday, we looked at dimensions and departments of faith. We saw insight in the word. We saw belief in the heart, mindset, and so on. But after all those 8 things are in place, or 10 rather, there are things that will facilitate its working. For example, the car has the engine and has the electrical system and have the metallurgical system and all the systems in place. But no matter how beautiful the car is, and no matter how functional it is, there must be petrol, fuel, before it moves. Engine oil, before it moves. Brake oil, and other things like that, that makes it work. So once these pillars are in place, there are other very critical things that must be together for faith to work. And I'm going to look at the forces that facilitate the faith. Number one is the force of good conscience. You can call it the force of uprightness or righteousness, but the force of good conscience. There is the connection between your conscience and the vitality of your faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 5, he said, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So there is a link between good conscience and active faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 19, the Bible also speaking said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. So you hold faith, and if you are not to make a shipwreck of your life and destiny, you must combine that faith with good conscience. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, the Bible speaking, he said, 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 9. He said, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of the faith answers to pure conscience. The faith, the working of faith answers to pure conscience. So if faith must be made to work effortlessly, conscience must be good. Conscience must be pure. It is not possible for conscience to be evil or defiled, and faith is potent. People with defiled, impure, or bad, corrupt conscience cannot move with faith that is potent. Can't move with faith that is potent. Now, two things are very clear. Things to note about conscience and faith. One, boldness is never present. Right. Boldness is not there if conscience is not clear. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1. It said, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Boldness is not there if conscience is not clear. Because the devil will tell you, well, we are going to deal with you. We are going to make mincemeat of you. Look at you, liar. Look at you, cheat. Look at you, this or that. And it's not possible for boldness to be there if conscience is not clear. Secondly, and that was Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 1. Secondly, access to God is denied where conscience is not clear. And we need access to God for our faith to work. Access to God is denied. That was what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22 says. Hebrews 10, 22. It said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We can draw near in faith if the conscience is sprinkled from if the heart has been cleansed from an evil conscience. Isaiah, of course, Isaiah 59 verse 1 to 2, the Bible talks about God's hand is not shutting that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So this happens. Boldness is not there, and access is denied. We look at the examples of people in scripture that walked in rugged faith by virtue of a pure conscience. First example, Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and in verse 3 to verse 4, Samuel was talking to the children of Israel and said, "Behold, here am I, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose oars have I taken? Whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Who have I oppressed? Or out of whose hand did I receive bribe to blind my eyes? I will restore it." And in verse 4, the Bible said, and they said, "You have not defrauded us." You see, he's saying, look at me. I want to ask you, point out to me where I have defrauded you, where I have walked contrarily. And they said, you haven't. And in the same chapter, he operated such a very terrible level of faith. He said, is this not wheat harvest? I am going to ask God to send rain now. The same 1 Samuel chapter 12 and in verse 17. Once he established that his conscience is clear, are we not in dry season? I will call unto the Lord and he will send thunder and rain. And he called unto the Lord in verse 18, and God sent thunder and rain. He was able to stand with such audacity to make those kind of declarations because his heart and his conscience was clear before God. Example number two, the man of God, Paul the Apostle, was a man who stated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10, Paul the Apostle said, you are witnesses and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. That was his testimony before them. And Paul walked in faith until he sent his handkerchief to the sick and cast out devils. That was Paul. And then of course our master Jesus in John chapter 8 verse 46, he said to them, who among you convict me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe me? Why don't you believe me? Who convicts me? Who convicts me among all of you? And they couldn't answer. And in John chapter 14 and in verse 30, he said, the prince of this world cometh. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. So if you want faith to walk, ensure you exercise your conscience always to be void of offense, according to Acts 24:16. That Paul the Apostle. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men. Done consciously, deliberately, and perennially, have a conscience towards God that is defiled. Done consciously, perennially, tenaciously, have a conscience where you injure people, you wound people, you hurt people deliberately, consciously, continuously. And you do it like that, and you want to walk in faith. It doesn't work like that. It will not work. That is the force of a good conscience. Number two is the force of love. So by the time we are through, there are people who may have quoted the scripture, they may have done this and done that, and they are wondering why their faith is not working. Some of these will show you why the faith had not been working. The force of love. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6, he said, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which walketh by love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Love for what? Love? Love for God and love for man. Love for God, love for man. Mark chapter 12. And in verse 39, and Jesus answered, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So it is love for God and love for man facilitates faith. How is that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. How does love facilitate faith? Talking about love, the Bible said, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So the first thing that makes us know that love assists faith is like love believes all things. First, towards man. He believes that his loved one must be rescued. I prayed for a man some years ago. He brought the sister to me. The sister was HIV positive. Husband died of HIV. She had a little baby. And the brother brought the sister to me and said, pray for my sister. She cannot die of HIV. At that time, I'm not sure if there was antiretroviral drugs as it is today. People were just stooling and just dying. He said, pray for my sister. He said, God will heal my sister. And if God does not heal my sister for her sake, they must discover HIV drug. I was so moved by that. That's what love provokes, an audacity of faith. I prayed for that sister. That sister is not just alive. The little baby that was born, that was to be left if the mother died, is now a medical doctor. The man is alive. The sister is alive. The baby is alive. So there is this love that activates faith. Love. God forbid, somebody, a mother testified the other day of how the child fell into a well. What is on the heart of that mother is not that the child will go. No matter what happened, that child must come out alive. Faith believes that God will be true to his word, because love believes that God will be true to his word, because love believeth all things. Love will not doubt. Love will not suspect God. God, I love God too much, and God loves me too much to lie to me. So love believes that God will be true to his word. And love believes that no matter what happened, the solution to this loved one's problem must happen. Whether it's your relation or anybody at all, that is love. Love believes that God will be true to his word. And love believes that the rescue of our loved one is a possibility, because love believes all things. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loud must say amen. Somebody shout the believers, amen. I heard the story of a situation the other day where they couldn't find a child, and the child was right inside. Door was locked. After the door was forced open, the child was met lifeless. Whoever will come into that kind of situation and say, okay, the child is already lifeless,
Let's forget. Is that what they would do? Everything possible. And that child was carried. Rushed to the hospital. And as they arrived at the hospital, the child moved. And then came out of that situation. That is love. Love. Love believes that the situation is not impossible. Love believes that the situation is reversible, no matter how terrible. Love believes all things. Number two, how does faith work by love? Love conquers all oppositions. It conquers all oppositions. Love moves you to dare anything, to go through anything, to get the desired results. It conquers oppositions. You dare things. Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6 says, set me as a seal upon your heart. He said, for love is strong like death. It can dare even death. Love. Go through anything. You dare anything. Love for God. See the kind of places we have gone. You went all the way to Pakistan. Love for God. Love for people. You went all the way to Jalingo, Taraba State, Ibiraland, Angpa in Kogi State. When we were going to Angpa, there was almost like a curfew or something around that region because of kidnap situation around that territory. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When we went to Kaduna, March 2024, there were, was it 130 something or? They went and kidnapped a whole group of children. Where is it? Angpa. They went and kidnapped a whole group of children from school in Kaduna. And the children have not yet been returned. And this challenge was still in the air. And then you took yourself and your team there for crusade. Because of love for God. Love for the people.
In a location near the airport.
Oh no, I mean the airport was attacked by terrorists before. The same airport where we landed. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you dare things. You love God too much to be stopped by any force on earth. You love the people so much for anything to stop you. Love conquers oppositions. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I ask that you will fill my heart with love for you in the name of Jesus. Have you read this Hebrews chapter 11 verse 35 before? When he was talking about the accounts of people, he said, women received their dead raised to life again. He specified women. Why? Because, I mean, love is the natural thing with women. And you go through the scripture, you see, love. When the Shunammite woman the child was sick, the father said, go and meet your mother, as most men will do. 2 Kings chapter 4. Headache. Before you know it, the child is gone. That woman saddled her ass and ran with the speed of Jehu to meet the prophet Elisha. She held on until that child came back to life. If it was left for the man, the child would have gone for good. What was it that inspired the faith in the Shunammite woman to think that the son will come back to life? Love. She loves the child too much to let the child go. Love. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 14 and in verse 20, Paul the apostle was stoned and love surrounded him. The disciples stood round about him. Love surrounded him. and he rose up. They stoned him to death. Love surrounded him and he rose up. The force of love. Matthew chapter 14 verse 14. Our master Jesus was love personified. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And he was moved with love. Love flowed from his heart and he healed their sick. The love flowed and he healed their sick. The love flowed out of his heart and he healed their sick. The force of love. What somebody will be asking God tonight is, Lord, let your love increase in my heart. Let your love flow in my heart in a higher dimension. The force of love. Or Roberts, in the days of the healing revival, I heard a story. He said that he will carry a child in his hand and he will picture, supposing this child is my child, how would I pray? And he will pray his heart out and the child will come back to life. Many, many years ago, they brought a man I knew. They brought him about 5 hours drive. They had to stop the car about 4 or 5 times on the road to pour water on his body to resuscitate him. They brought him to our church in Irrawaddy at that time, many, almost 20 years ago. When I saw this man, he was like a skeleton that was dressed in skin. They brought him. I carried him in my hand. Compassion flowed from my heart. With all the energy I possess and the fire I possess, you spirit of death, leave him alone. Get out. He was carried in the hand. When I dropped him on the ground, big matured man was like a baby in my hand. When I dropped him on the ground, he stood on his feet. And he began to go and walked. Walked. 2 weeks later, he drove himself to our house. He said, I came to show you myself. Just wanted to let you know I'm well. I'm okay. Life flowed because of compassion. Somebody say a loud amen. If love will increase, possibilities will increase on the earth. Love for God. Love for people. If we will increase in our love for God, in our love for people, we will see drastic possibilities on the earth. We will see results that will amaze us. We will see things that will beat our imagination. So we have the force of good conscience. Number 2 is the force of love. Number 3 is the force of vision. The force of vision. What exactly are we dealing with? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27. Speaking, the Bible says concerning Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw the invisible God. He was seeing the invisible and daring the impossible. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The person that are things not seen. You see, the fact that they are not seen does not mean they are not things. There are things that are not seen, but they are there as things. Am I communicating? There are many of us who have seen things that others haven't seen. You see, faith sees the invisible before it becomes visible. Faith sees what others are yet to see. The man of faith, the woman of faith, sees what others are yet to see. Such that when results happen, people are surprised. But the man or woman of faith is not surprised. Because he saw it all this while, he saw it happen. I was not surprised at the building of this house. I wasn't. Listen, reality happens twice. It happens. If you ask the architect, he will tell you. First of all, it happens in the mind. Then it happens in life. That's why I say, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That is why he says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It happens twice. Somebody say aloud, amen. It happens twice. While growing up as a young Christian, young minister of God, I had crusade pictures, namely Rehoboam crusade crowd pictures everywhere. My office, my house, everywhere. I was looking at those pictures. Believing God that a day will come where we'll be seeing such things. Even far before I ever met Rehoboam. And then that reality became formed in the mind. Before the glory dome came, I told you the story many times. We were at the National Stadium in 2007, and I announced to the church we'll build our own. When the architects gathered, I gave them the brief of what I saw. No pillar in the center. Go and bring the design. And they went and brought the design. I told them the capacity. About six, seven designs came. One of the designs that came looked like the Coca-Cola Dome in Georgia. And several of the designs. And I looked at it and said, this is the one, this particular one. This one is the one. Because I knew what I have been seeing. And I saw it physically, I knew on paper. So it came. So what makes vision to assist faith? Number one. Vision confirms possibility. And eliminates probability from the heart of man. It confirms possibility in the heart of man and eliminates probability. Mark 11:23. The Bible said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have what he said. He shall not doubt in his heart. That doubt element is deleted. Why? You may doubt what you hear, but you don't doubt what you see. Am I communicating? Even in the physical world, they say seeing is believing. So, in the journey of faith, you are turning the expectation into picture. Picture so vivid. You are actually seeing yourself in the realm of when it has happened. How it looks like is clear to you. Once it becomes so clear, then doubt dies. Once it becomes a reality in your heart, then it soon becomes a reality in your life. Because if the doubt can go, the results will come. Somebody say aloud, amen. And neurosurgical people say that the center of the brain that deals with reality, neurophysicians that deals with reality, and the center that deals with vivid imagination are the same. They are just same. So what is vividly seen in the mind, as far as the brain is concerned, is considered that it has happened. I believe that is how God wires it. Maybe that is why he says that when you look lustfully, it has already happened, as far as God is concerned. Because in the realm of the spirit, vivid imagination is ways at the same level with reality. Maybe that's why God said unto him that according Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think or envision or imagine. So they weigh the same, they are at the same level. So when you have seen the vision of what has not yet happened, as far as heaven is concerned, you are already stepping into the reality of the thing that has not yet happened. It confirms possibility in the heart of man, eliminates probability. Number two, vision brings people into agreement and alignment with the omnipotence, possibilities, and resources of God. It brings us into alignment, into agreement. That is, we are together, we are on the same page with God. What the Bible says God will do, we are picturing and seeing it. It brings us into agreement, into alignment with the omnipotence of God, with the possibilities of God, with the resources of God. I read that already in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20. According to the power that worketh in us. Vision. Finally, vision becomes the raw material for the creative power of God. The creative power of God. Still Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that worketh in us. The spirit of God, which is the spirit of faith, which is also the spirit of vision, is activated once we begin to see. As we begin to see them, the spirit of God is moved. We are brought into alignment with God. So two walk together when they are agreed. And if two of us shall agree at such anything, it's established. If I am agreeing with God that this is possible, it is done. Somebody say amen. If you look at the examples of vision in scripture, first example I will share with us was the example of Joseph. Joseph knew. He dreamed dreams. He saw visions. Alright. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, all the way to verse 9, Joseph dreamed dreams. Verse 5 to verse 9, he dreamed dreams. All right. By Genesis chapter 40, verse 5 all the way to verse 8, Joseph was now interpreting the dreams of the butler and the baker, because his dream was still in his sight. He knew the interpretation of his dream and he never let go. He knew the dream would come to pass. And as he maintained his own dream, the confidence with which he was using to interpret other people's dreams, his dreams came to pass. The faith of Joseph that made him keep his dream brought that dream to pass. I announce to someone here today, your dream shall come to pass. That amen is still paralyzed. Shout the loudest amen. A believer's amen. Our second example, David. David. Before Goliath died, David saw it. How he will die, he saw it. What will happen to him after he died, he saw it. You see, in 1 Samuel 17 and in verse 45 to 47, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you. One. And I will take your head from you. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of heaven and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with spear and sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Can I have a microphone? I need somebody that is as tall as Goliath. Anybody? Don't worry, I'm not shall come. The head of Shayu shall come. You can come. All right, you can come. Right? You are not Goliath, but hold this. Stay on that side and face me in this direction. While this battle was set, David examined Goliath. Chest was covered. Feet was covered. Hand was covered. Everywhere was covered. The helmet covered him all the way. And he looked at him. And he realized, oh, okay, there is an opening on the forehead. That's the first thing he saw. And David is what you will call a sniper. Apart from any other thing else. Apart from the help of God. David, even though he was of the tribe of Judah, he was like the Benjamite. The Bible says that the Benjamites have the capacity to shoot at a hair strand. That is, if you take a hair up, they can shoot it. That is one hair. You are standing there, it is your hair. It's not your head. The hair, the bullet will meet the hair. The hair strand. So David was like that. So he already identified the head that is open. So he knew there's nothing that will make him miss the head. Counting on the help of God. Number two, he saw the man with a sword in his hand. He had no sword, but he said, I will cut off your head. So he already calculated, by the time I bring him down, I will rush at him and take his sword. And then use his own sword to take off his head. And stand on him. He calculated all of it. David was 17 years old. And when he has finished seeing the end of the matter, then he was ready for the battle. He told Goliath the sequence. The Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will smite you. Then I will take off your head. Was that not what happened? The Lord stepped into the battle. He smote him. He went and took off his head. And carried the head. And brought it to Saul. Many of us, if you can't see the end, you may not reach the end. Don't just thank you, Usher. It's okay. Congratulations. You are the David, not the Goliath. You are the one to finish Goliath. Hallelujah. If you don't see the end, you might not reach the end. Whatever it is, you are trusting God for now. I'd like you to see the end of it. See the end of it. See the end. See the conclusion. That is why I always say that we are the ones to see the end of the devil. He can't see our end. It's not possible. That was David. I told you Joseph already. Then I have told you about David. The next example was our master Jesus. In John chapter 6 verse 6. When he was going to multiply bread. Where do we get food for these people? The Bible said this he said to prove him. For himself knew what he will do. The sequence when he said, make the people sit down, as a prophet, he already knew there was food in the midst of the people. A lad is here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Make the people to sit down on the grass. Begin to break. He saw the sequence of it and how it ended. He saw the end. Then he started from the beginning. Somebody say a loud amen. Is this profiting anybody at all? So don't just think the word. Don't just rehearse the scripture. Rehearse the picture. Again, don't just rehearse the scripture. Rehearse the picture. Don't think your thought in words only. Think in pictures. Think in images. It is scriptural. Very, very scriptural. Someone say aloud, amen. So we have the force of good conscience, the force of love, the force of vision, and number 4 is the force of praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. Jude chapter 1 and in verse 20, all of these things are going to help your faith produce result. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, the force of praying in the Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 all the way to verse 7. The Bible said, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of boldness and of love and of a sound mind. So as you steer the gift of God, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, by praying in tongues, you release the force of boldness and of a sound mind. Praying in the Spirit is a very potent force for the establishment of faith. How many of you know one of the a major secret of the ministry of Jesus? You know a major secret? John chapter 3 verse 34. The Bible says God gave him the Spirit without measure. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. That is, he has immeasurable dimension of the Spirit. So nothing was impossible with him. Somebody said, well, you are talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, he also manifested that. I'm sure you know that groaning is a part of praying in the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 8 verse 26, he said, for the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there is a time where the vocabulary is no longer enough to express what is in your heart. It becomes groaning. That is also praying in the Spirit. And Jesus manifested that at the grave of Lazarus. In John chapter 11 verse 33. John 11, 33. And the Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the Spirit. He groaned in the Spirit. And he was troubled. Expressing wordless prayer, vocabulary-less prayer. Prayer too heavy for vocabulary to communicate. No wonder. He moved in dimensions of faith that many of us on earth are yet to dare. Second example of one who moved in the Spirit and walked in faith was Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 18, he said, nevertheless, I thank my God. I I speak with tongues more than all of you. I speak with tongues more than all of you. I speak with tongues more than all of you. I speak with tongues more than all of you. No wonder handkerchiefs and aprons were raising the dead as Paul spoke. Now, Smith Wigglesworth was officially called the Apostle of Faith. He prayed in tongues every 30 minutes. And study the Bible every 30 minutes, except he has a shadow. 30 minutes tonguing, 30 minutes study, 30 minutes tonguing, 30 minutes study, 30 minutes, just interchangeably. John G. Lake, apostle to South Africa, that worked in all manner of miracles, very, very aggressive faith. He says tongue was the making of his ministry. Tongue was the making of his ministry. Tonguing and praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues is a major, major, major. I mean, my wife knows me. The first thing my wife knew me when we married. I mean, before we married, whatever she knows me from was. Permanently. It was to the point where I went for a program somewhere. The host says, sorry, is the pepper too much? This is not pepper. This is worse than pepper. This is more than pepper. Hallelujah. And it was uncontrollable. It was like a machine. It's a flow. It's a flow. One day I thought about praying without ceasing. That is, pray stretch out in prayer. Those days, that's 40 years ago, about the year of 1986, we had this little meeting and we were praying young men on fire. I thought on stretching out in prayer. By the time we finished that meeting, a young man had gone and stretched for 19 hours. I said, by the time you finish tonguing for 3 hours, forget that you are praying and start afresh. After another 3 hours, forget and start afresh. He did 19 hours. He had a Holy Ghost fire encounter that left a physical scar on him. Are you following what I'm saying here today? You see, what that does, what is the impact of the Holy Spirit, especially praying in the Holy Ghost on faith? 3 things I will mention. Number one, the Holy Ghost grants you access to depths and insights in the Word that explodes your faith. Grants you access. So you are not just praying in tongues. That prayer is dissolving and decomplicating scriptures. You hear what I said? It's dissolving, demystifying, decomplicating scriptures. It gives you access to light, insight, and depth in the Word that explode your faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 10. The Bible said, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. So the Spirit gives you access into depths. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So you begin to see things you never saw before. And your faith begins to explode. Number two, the Holy Spirit imparts the faith nature of God into our hearts. The faith nature. In God, there is no doubt at all. So as you pray in the Spirit, that nature is being transferred into you. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. He said, beloved, you build yourself on your most holy faith as you pray in the Holy Ghost. The highest level of faith is being built into you. As you pray in the Holy Ghost. As you pray in the Holy Ghost. And of course, you know that the same Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 13. He says, and we all, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. So you cannot have the spirit of faith, you cannot exercise yourself in the spirit of faith, and not excel in the realm of faith. You can't exercise yourself with the spirit of faith, which is the Holy Ghost, and not excel in the life of faith. The spirit of faith is the Holy Ghost. Exercise with the spirit of faith, praying abundantly, extensively, bereketeshously in the Holy Spirit, installs the faith nature of God. And finally, number three, the Holy Spirit saturates our hearts with love for God and man. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 4. The Holy Spirit saturates our heart. Verse 5. It said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is saturated abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God saturates our hearts. The love of God saturates our hearts. The love of God saturates our hearts. And why is that important? Faith worketh by love. We saw that already. Faith worketh by love. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. So the Holy Ghost makes you to make the love of God to explode in your heart. Love for people explode in your heart. And this love makes your faith to work. It's a new day for somebody. Welcome to the force of a good conscience and the force of love and the force of vision and the force of praying in the spirit. Stand up on your feet if you receive something. The Bible said, once God has spoken and twice have I heard. I would like you to go home and listen and look at this. Listen to it again. Listen to it afresh. Lord, deliver me. So we are going to start in the reverse order. We start in the reverse order. I'd like you to pray. All right. I will start. 3, 2, 1, 4. 3, 2, 1, 4. 3, 2, 1, 4. All right. Lift your voice and say after me, say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. In the name of Jesus, say, I thank you for your word unto me today. In the name of Jesus, help me to see what you see. Help me to see what you want me to see. Open my eyes that I might see the future you have for me. Open my eyes that I might behold the wondrous things out of your book. Oh Lord. Now, the media guy, it's not in the time of demonstrating something that you take the camera away, right? Do that again. Say, Father, open my eyes to see the things that I need to see. Open my eyes to behold wonders out of your word. Oh Lord, now open your mouth and pray. Pray, pray. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Jibe laga da pragada zilaga da pragadesh repto zilaga da pragada da 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 jibe laga da pagada pragada zilaga da rep Jesus' precious name. Say after me, say, Father, I ask that you saturate my heart with love. Love for you. Love for your people. Love for human beings. Saturate my heart with your love, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. Pray. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And then say after me, say, Father.
Father.
Help me,
to exercise,
my conscience,
to be void of
offense,
always.
Deliver me,
from every addiction,
to unrighteousness,
to ungodliness.
In the name of Jesus,
help me, Lord,
to live clean,
to live pure.
In the name of Jesus,
open your mouth and pray right now.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
And if you know anything in your own life that you need God to have mercy on you right now, ask for mercy. Lord, in this area of my life, I ask for mercy. Forgive me of this and give me victory over this kind of life. I don't want to live like that. So after we have said that, you will return back and say after me, say, Father,
Father,
I receive
the grace
to live the life
with a conscience
that is void of offense
towards God and man.
Help me to overcome
the
things that try to overcome me.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
go on ahead, open your mouth and speak to God.
Father, we give you the prayer. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Anywhere you are tonight, and you are in need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness for your sins, you want today to mark a new day in your life, pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, louder, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone who prayed that prayer, can I see your hand? Quickly come forward. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. Quickly come forward. I'll give you the count of 7. 1. From everywhere you are, you prayed and you are surrendering your life to Jesus. Come forward.
We thank you for the only.
2. Keep coming. Lord, prepare me. 3. 4.
We thank you.
5.
I'll be a living.
6.
Sanctuary.
7.
For you. Lord, prepare me.
1 minute more. You want an addiction broken of your life. Drug addiction, gambling addiction, masturbation addiction, pornography addiction, and any form of lifestyle, drunkenness, cannabis, Indian hemp, tobacco smoking. You want that hold and that yoke broken of your life. Carry your Bibles on your backs and quickly run to the front here and let us receive you. Sing the song again.
Lord, prepare
1.
To be a sanctuary.
2.
Pure and holy.
Rush forward. 3.
The truth with thanksgiving.
4.
I'll be a living.
5.
Sanctuary.
6. and ten. I'll be a living sanctuary
for you.
One more time, place your hand on yourself and say, Jesus, come into my life. Deliver me from the power of sin. Grace to live for you. I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God is released for you. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody say aloud, amen.